How many of you remember Bobby McFerrin? And if you don't, do you remember, "Don't worry, be happy," right? Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. In every life, we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Be happy now. How easy, huh? The reason I thought of this song is that every time I read this sentence from Paul where he says, "Rejoice always," my mind goes back to Bobby McFerrin's "Don't Be Happy." I mean, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." And Paul becomes even more emphatic. In the letter to the Philippians, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." And the strange thing is that Paul's life had intense suffering after his conversion. He didn't have the easiest life. Neither were the Christians to whom he was writing having a jolly good time. This is the time of persecution. People were paying a price of their life for the sake of believing. To them, Paul says, "Rejoice always." But then after he says that, he adds two more very significant thoughts to the initial invitation to rejoice. He then says, "Pray without ceasing, and in all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Jesus Christ." Is Paul's invitation to rejoice always the same as Bobby McFerrin's "Don't worry, be happy"? So today is the third Sunday in Advent, and of course, as we see in that Advent wreath over there, we have the rose candle lit, and so it tells us that's something special, right? Today is what we call Rejoice Sunday or Gaudete Sunday. Many priests would wear a rose color vestment on this day. The closest I get is to wearing a rose color hairband on my wrist here. Yeah, this is third Sunday of Advent. Okay. What is uppermost in my mind is the practicality of Paul's call to rejoice always. Is it really possible? What does it mean to rejoice always? And so that is what I want to reflect on with you in my 3 points, right? So first of all, I want to talk about joy. What is joy? To rejoice always can be a tall order if we think that joy means being on a perpetual high all the time. We can never be there. You and I know life is not always up here. Joy does not mean the absence of sorrow or sadness. It's not. I was reading a few commentaries on Paul about what Paul means by joy. Paul understands joy as a Christian attitude no matter what the circumstance. That's the key. Joy is an attitude toward life that we develop. How do we do that? This is because Paul does not treat joy as an independent attitude. In other words, joy is not like "don't worry, be happy." There's something attached to it. Two things: praying unceasingly and giving thanks to God in all circumstances. First, prayer. Paul encourages the early Christians to adopt prayer, and this is important, to adopt prayer as a conscious and a constant state of mind. Think about it for a minute. Prayer is something Christians are involved in, not in the morning, not just in the evening, not before we go to bed, but as a conscious and a constant state of mind. So I need to be, as a Christian, training myself to constantly have God, and intercession is part of it, as part of my prayer throughout the entire day. Anything that happens, dear God, dear God, dear God. Prayer for Paul is symbolic of our relationship with God and of our dependence on God. And then secondly, giving thanks constantly. In Paul's thinking, the principal duty of every human person is to give honor and thanks to God. We are created. We live on this earth. Our lives are meant to be at the service and the honor of God. Our primary responsibility is to give honor and thanks to God. And if our lives are not doing that, then Paul is saying we are failing for the very cause that God created us. In other words, joy, no matter what the circumstance, is an attitude we develop because of our constant praying and our constant giving glory to God. Those two things have to go together. And if you're not doing that, then Paul says that joy cannot be part of our lives. What happens when you're praying constantly? What happens when you're giving glory to God constantly? Paul says, then you feel the closeness of God. And that is what joy is. Joy is not the absence of sadness and sorrow. Joy is an awareness of the closeness of God, no matter what the circumstance. And we develop that joy through constant prayer and constant gratitude to God. Paul says, this is the will of God for you in Jesus Christ. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks to God in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Jesus Christ. That's joy, the closeness of God. Secondly, I want to connect joy to our identity, who we are. And I want to focus on the gospel reading for this second point. People came to John the Baptist and they asked him this question: who are you? And surprisingly, John's answer to the question is not saying who he is, but who Jesus is. They keep asking him. Three times they ask him, who are you? Tell us who you are. Are you Elijah? He says, no. Are you the prophet? He says, no. Then who are you? And he says, I'm merely a voice. John finds his identity in Jesus. If there was no Jesus, John says, my life has no meaning. So he says about Jesus, I baptize you with water, but there is one coming among you who you do not recognize. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and his sandal thongs I am not worthy to untie. In other words, John finds his identity not by saying who he is, but by saying who Christ is. And what is true of John is also true of us. Folks, one of our most basic existential questions is, who am I? And really, really, who are you? Folks, Jesus is not a crutch we use to get through life. If you really want to know who you are, you have to define who Jesus is for you. If you define yourself independent of Jesus, then, well, that's who you are. But then who are you really? That answer must be found in who Jesus is. as Christians, Jesus is the most central, crucial, significant, and vital dimension of our life. If Christ is not firmly enthroned in the depths of our being, if Christ's teachings are not the guide to our lives, and if we are not moving deliberately with and toward Christ, who is our destiny, and joy will never be part of our lives. We might be happy, we might be cheerful, but joy, it's a different ballgame. You have to find yourself in Christ. Thirdly, I want to talk about Mary in today's psalm response, that psalm that we just sang so beautifully. My soul rejoices in God, my Savior. Mary sings, my soul proclaims the greatness of my Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. Now, after she has glorified God, which is what Paul asked us to do, right? To constantly be grateful to God. After she's glorified God, and after she has found herself in Christ, without Christ, Mary's life is just another human person. So she finds herself in Christ, she gives gratitude to God, and then the rest of that psalm has got to do with the poor, the humble. The rest of Mary's song is about God has filled the hungry with good things and how God favors the poor, the humble, and those in need. In other words, Mary teaches us an invaluable lesson that joy is a community affair. You can be as rich as you want, as famous as you want, as popular as you want. You can have everything in the world. But if you are this person who lives for yourself, how in the world can joy be part of your life? And Mary teaches us that if you really want to experience joy, three things. Yes, rejoice always through prayer and constant thanksgiving. Secondly, find yourself in Christ. And thirdly, find yourself in the community. You cannot be an individual satisfied unto yourself and then be happy and joyful. Joy comes from being in genuine relationship with each other. Mary teaches us to discover the joy of self-sacrifice, the joy of commitment to the poor, the joy of being there for those in need. You know, in one sense, I look at these gifts that are sitting here. In one sense, it shows the generosity of, you know, our hearts. This is so beautiful. But Mary wants us to take us one step forward. It's one thing to give something. It's quite another to give yourself. And sometimes we don't have to go to Africa or to India to find people in need. Right here in our midst, sometimes in the community, most of all, sometimes in our own homes, there are people who are asking a little more of us. And unless we can connect with those in need, whether they're in our homes, outside, or across the world, until we connect with them, joy will always evade us. There's a big difference between Bobby McFerrin's Don't Worry, Be Happy and Mary's My Soul Glorifies the Lord. It's a big difference. My hope is that you and I can truly be a joyful people because we do everything that makes God close to us. Pray unceasingly. Give glory and honor to God. Define our identity in Christ. And then be available for those in need. So I ask you the question, is it possible to be happy? Sorry, to be joyful always? Is it possible to rejoice always? The answer is yes. Because it does not mean being on a high. It really means living your life with God. Having God close to us. That's the meaning of joy. As we celebrate this Eucharist and as we prepare ourselves in the coming days for Christ, truly, truly, let's hear God's word. Let there be true conversion in our hearts, because that is a secret to joy. People of God said,